بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still pondering upon سورة النازعات, chapter 79. And after Allah عز وجل has mentioned to us eye-openers so that we would believe in the existence of the Day of Judgment, the Day of Resurrection, the Day of Reckoning, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us something about this day. In Ayah 34, Allah says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. After all these signs and blessings and favors, heavens and the earth and the night and the day, and the provision that He had provided for us and for our cattle, Allah says, but when there comes the greatest catastrophe. What is the greatest catastrophe? Is it the credit crunch? Is it the loss of a loved one? Is it an illness that one suffers from? No. All of these can be recovered. We can get our recovery from. If you suffered in the credit crunch, tomorrow Allah will give you money. Tomorrow Allah will provide for you. It's a better day. If you lost a loved one, this is inevitable. Everyone is going to die. But Allah has left so many others for you to love. And if you were struck by a calamity, by an illness, by a disease, there's always something good for it in it for you. Because you never know. If you were healthy, you might have sinned and transgressed. Being ill gets you closer to Allah, makes you more submissive, increases your humility to Allah, and this draws you closer to Him, raises your status and elevates it in paradise. So what is the greatest calamity? What is the greatest catastrophe? Well, the ayat, the verses after it, explain it. Allah says, يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. The day when the man shall remember what he strove for. Then we understand from this that الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى is the day of judgment. It is what people would say when they are resurrected from their graves. What is this? This is a loss in our due right. We are in loss if there is life after death. This is not what we were prepared for. This is not what we strove for. And only then they will see. So, this greatest catastrophe is the greatest catastrophe to those who are sinful, to those who disbelieved, because they will suffer more and more and more. And that is why Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, whenever he stood by a grave, he used to weep until his beard was wet from his tears. And they would say, Subhanallah, when we mention hell and heaven, you don't weep like this. But when you stand at a grave, this is what you do? And Uthman would say to them, yes, by Allah, the grave is the first step in the hereafter. So, whatever is after it, this is what is shown and displayed. So if it's torture and torment in your grave, what's coming is worse. And if it is favors and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal in your grave, what's coming is better. And that is why it is called the greatest catastrophe. And Allah says, describing it, يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. On that day, each and every individual would remember what he had strove for, what he had done. And in so many places in the Qur'an, Allah reminds us that, listen, you forget, but Allah does not. You neglect, but Allah has everything in writing. That is why each individual of us has angels writing his good deeds and bad deeds. Why do they write? Allah doesn't forget. Yes, but you as an individual would come and say, show me the proof. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not want to leave anything for you to hold on to. You want proof? It's in black and white. It's in writing. And subhanAllah, how many things we forget in this life, on earth, or how many things we pretend to forget. Each one of us has rights he would like to collect and obligations he must fulfill. We always remember our rights, never forgetting a single thing. But our obligations, we always look the other way around. And by time, we forget. Allah does not forget. And on the Day of Judgment, you will remember. What would I remember? You'll remember that worker who did work for you and you did not pay him. That servant whom you deprived him from his salary. You'll remember that colleague of yours whom you backbit and forced your manager to kick him out or not to promote him. These things you forget, Allah doesn't. You will remember on the Day of Judgment the things you were supposed to do to your wife and to your children, their rights over you when you didn't. So many sisters call and complain that their husbands don't support them, don't provide for them. They have to work while their husbands sit back home and they support the family. This is not a woman's obligation. Even if she's the richest woman on earth, she's not obliged to pay a single penny. It is the husband's role and job in Islam. Yet unfortunately, a lot of us forget this. And this is what you'll remember on the Day of Judgment. You'll remember the number of Fajr prayers you did not pray in the masjid. You'll remember, sister, the numbers of times you did not cover properly, yet went out and men were looking at you. You'll remember the perfumes you put on and they found the smell and you know the punishment of that. You'll remember the so many times you disobeyed or even dishonored your husband. You'll remember how many times you looked viciously in the eyes of your parents, the number of times you've disobeyed them, said harsh things to them, or showed your disrespect. All of this and many, many more. يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَسَعًا. On that day, the greatest catastrophe, the people will remember what they had done in this life. And each one of us would be given his record book. So you don't have to be told, you don't have to be reminded. It's all written in black and white. You'll be given your record book and you will open it and see every single detail of your life. SubhanAllah. Not only that, on that greatest catastrophe, Allah tells us, وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَن يَرَى. And what was hidden will be exposed. The things that you could not see in this life, you will see it on the Day of Judgment. Imagine if we were to see hell right in front of us, with people being tortured and tormented, with flesh being burnt and you find the smell of it, where you see boiling water, yet the people of hell drinking it, and it doesn't do them any good. When you see the different forms of torment, if you can see it, would you ever sin? By Allah, you would never ever sin. And this is why Allah praised us, because we believe in the unseen. We believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and in whatever He says. And that is why we believe in the existence of hellfire. Yet those who have weak iman, those who do not have this strong belief, may fall in the traps of Satan. And sometimes they would sin openly or in secret. Though they acknowledge the existence of fire, of hell, but because they do not see it, their iman and knowledge is not as high to make them feel it, they may fall weak and sin. Well, on the Day of Judgment, it will be unveiled. It will be uncovered. Allah tells us that it will come with 70,000 leashes. And with each leash, there are 70,000 angels dragging it. It has 19 hell keepers, gatekeepers, whatever. And 19 is sufficient to control all inhabitants of hell. Because you don't know how strong and vicious each one is. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمِ لِمَنْ يَرَى. To those who can see, they can see it in front of them without any covering and without any doubt. We have a short break. Stay tuned and inshallah we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So, the greatest catastrophe is the Day of Judgment, when people would remember things that they had forgotten. When people would see hellfire in front of them. On that day, the people will be divided into two groups. Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. So Allah says, for the first party, then for him who طَغَى, who transgresses, or who went across all boundaries by disbelieving, by sinning, by oppressing others, by committing evil acts, by disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى, those who do this. وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, and preferred the life of this world. Over what? Over what Allah Azza wa Jal has promised you. You preferred the life of this world over paradise, over Allah's forgiveness, over Allah's mercy. You neglected all of that. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that whoever transgresses, and how would a person transgress? Well, Allah Azza wa Jal has created you for a reason. And that is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah has created us to worship Him. Ask anyone around, why did Allah create you? What is your purpose of life? He said, to eat, to drink, to dress well, to have a good ride, to marry a beautiful woman, to have children, to get high position in one of the best 10 companies in the country, to get a healthy, wealthy, fat check at the end of the month and a big bonus at the end of the year. This is what life is all about. Well, you're wrong. Allah Azza wa Jal did not create you to do these things. Allah created you to worship Him. And if you can get these things on the process while doing so, so be it. But never ever forget the objective that you were created for. Because if you do, then you're transgressing. If you move on and say, I have a meeting, therefore I'm going to skip Dhuhr Salah and maybe Asr Salah. Because I have a meeting, I have to conduct this meeting. And this is where my paycheck comes from. You've transgressed. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى. If you go beyond what Allah Azza wa Jal has permitted you to do. Allah told you get married. And He said, no, I'd like to taste and smell every flower I see. So you're transgressing. If Allah tells you earn halal. And you say, no, I'd like to deal with interest. I'd like to receive bribes. I have no problem in stealing from what I was entrusted with. Then you have transgressed. So, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. If you prefer this life over the hereafter, then you have a problem. How would one prefer life over the hereafter? What does Allah tell you? Allah tells you to be kind to your parents and obedient to them. If they are a sweetheart, yet your evil wife tells you not to see them, not to be kind to them, not to give them money. Your evil wife tells you to show them who you really are, to say no to them. And she tells you to be abusive to them. And you obey her. Definitely you have transgressed and you have preferred this life over what Allah Azza wa Jal had prepared for those who obey His instructions and orders. And these are the two features of all those who are in hell. If you go to hell, may Allah forbid you from that, but if you go to hell, you'll find everyone you know. This is what we tell people. If you go to paradise, inshallah, we all go to paradise, and they start to introduce you. They say, this is Sa'd ibn Ubadah and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, hi, I've never heard of him. This is Salam ibn al-Akwar, one of the greatest soldiers of the Prophet ﷺ. Salam who? Ibn al-Akwar? What is this? And then they say that this is Abu Ubaidah, and this is Sa'id, and this is so-and-so. And you hear names of people you've never heard before. And when they go out to describe the Tabi'een and the great scholars of Islam, and you are so ignorant, say, I don't know anyone here, man. Let us take a glance. Let us take a look at hell. If you go to hell, you'll find that you know everyone there. Hey, that's my homie. Yeah, I know this man. I know, oh, this is a great person. But they are people of hell. This means that in this life, you preferred it, and you've acted upon such a preference, rather than doing what pleases Allah and working for paradise. And these are the two features, that you transgress and you prefer this life over the hereafter. So what would happen? Allah says, فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Those who have these two characteristics in them, then verily his adobe will be hellfire. So one would say, okay, now I understand. So this means that if I do not transgress, and I know exactly what Allah had created me for, and I abide by this, if I do not prefer this life over what Allah has prepared for me in paradise, does this mean I am saved? The answer is yes, with the grace of Allah. Because then you would be a true servant, a true slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the description of the other party. Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Two descriptions, two characteristics. But as for him who feared standing before his Lord, and he restrained his nafs, himself, from impure evil desires and lusts, what would happen? Allah says, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Then verily paradise will be his adobe. So, what are the two things that one should try to have in him to be in paradise? One, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. You should fear Allah's status. You should fear your position when you stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. This fear is what is known as positive fear. Because we have positive fear and negative fear. Negative fear is the one that calls you to be despair. Positive fear is the one that drives you forward. So you fear something, you act upon this fear. I fear hell, then I have to protect myself from it. So Allah says that those who fear standing before Allah Azza wa Jal, second characteristic, and they deny themselves, and they restrain themselves. They restrain their nafs from impure evil desires and lusts. So, if you want to go to Jannah, you have to refrain yourself, your nafs, from pursuing forbidden desires and lusts. Pursuing something that is halal, it's okay. Go ahead for it. You want to get married? Go ahead. To pursue your desire, oh, this is haram, but I love it. I enjoy it. I want it. No, this would prevent you from entering Jannah. And the nafs in Quran is described by three descriptions. One, it is mutma'inna. Two, it is lawama. Three, it is ammaratun bisu. One is nafs that has the peace and tranquility, especially when dying. And another nafs is the one that always orders you to do evil things. And this is fueled by shaitan. And the third one is the one that blames itself. Why did I do this? Why didn't I do something better? These are all mentioned in the Quran. So whoever has these two characteristics, his Jannah, the paradise, is his adobe. It is what Allah has prepared for his servants, that no eye had ever seen, and no ear had ever heard, and nothing had ever crossed the mind and hearts of people in it. All what you hear in paradise, nothing is similar to what's on earth except the name. There are fruits, there are meats, there are wives, but nothing is similar to what's on earth. And this is what people should try their level best to attain. So Allah Azza wa Jal is giving us this eye-opener. You want hell? Then this is what you have to do. Transgress and prefer this life. And this is the majority of people. They transgress and they think that they only live once. So they try to make the best of it, which is wrong. Making the best of it is the right thing to do as it pleases Allah, not as it pleases your desires and lust. You want to be among those who are in paradise? You have to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. The positive fear that makes you progress, not retreat. Progressing means that you do what Allah has ordered you to do and refrain from what Allah has forbidden you from doing. And you add to that, that you fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and at the same time, you forbid yourself from pursuing what your soul desires if it goes against what Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered you to do. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.